Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive us.
called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Behold, how good and pleasant it is
with brothers dwell in unity.
It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron,
running down on the collar of his robes.
It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion.
For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
First reading
for the third Sunday in Easter is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is merciful.
I love the Lord because he has heard
my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me.
Therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me.
I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple.
When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death.
My eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I believe even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted.
I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is
merciful. The second reading is from St. Peter's first letter, the first chapter. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God is as we praise of the name.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and
and I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Christ is risen. From our gospel reading today, the two disciples who had walked the road to Emmaus rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is our text. Seven miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, the road that these two men walked twice that day. These two men were disciples of Jesus. And like all disciples of Jesus, like you, they were following him. Now we know as disciples of Jesus, to follow him means to follow his teachings, and they certainly did that. But these two also followed Jesus with their feet. They were there with him in first century Palestine. Only a week before this road to Emmaus, they had literally followed Jesus, walking behind him, when he entered into Jerusalem on a path of palm branches and coats. They followed Jesus. These two disciples had probably been with Jesus for a year, 2 years, maybe even close to 3 years. But when they followed Jesus into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, they discovered that the journey they were on with Jesus came to a sudden and unexpected end. In the span of a single day, Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. And so it seemed to these two disciples, having followed Jesus for multiple years, that the path they followed led finally to a tomb. It led to the tomb. That wasn't where they expected to go. That was the last place they hoped to follow Jesus, but it's where Jesus had gone. And so picture yourself in the shoes of these two disciples, following Jesus into Jerusalem on a road that appeared to be a dead end. They see Jesus laid into the tomb, and now where do they go? Now where does the path lead? They have no clear direction. Life goes on, but to these two disciples, it looked to them like their journey with Jesus was clearly over. It had come to an end. Or was it over? These two disciples had an awful lot to talk about while they walked to Emmaus. It was Sunday afternoon. It was the first day of the week. It was the third day since Jesus' crucifixion. And just that morning, some women had gone to the tomb and they found it empty. Empty, where the body had been laid. They even said that a couple of angels had appeared to them and told them that Jesus was among the living and not among the dead, that he had risen. The apostles thought this was an idle tale. They couldn't make sense of it. They didn't believe them. Even Peter went to the tomb. He found the tomb empty, like they said, but he didn't see any angels. So he returned home, marveling at what had happened. These two disciples are talking about all of these things while they walk. It's all very confusing. They're trying to sort it out. They have no idea what it all means, but it gives them plenty to discuss. And it's while they're on the road to Emmaus, while they're in the middle of this discussion, while they're pulling on the threads and puzzling out what it must mean, what they had seen and heard, that a third person joins them. A third person becomes their companion on the way. Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This guy walks up and joins them on the way. They have no idea who this stranger is. And as they're talking, they're shocked to learn how little he knows about the things that have happened over the past week in Jerusalem. Here's a man who doesn't seem to know anything about Jesus and what's gone on. And so it's a prime opportunity for them to confess their faith. What an opportunity to tell someone who's never heard about Jesus. And so they do. Well, sort of. Cleopas explains, and he tells this man about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a man who was a prophet. He was mighty in deed. He was mighty in word before God and all the people. He tells about the arrest, about the trial, about the crucifixion. He even mentions what he knows from Easter Sunday morning, from the Easter story. And then he says, but we had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. Can you hear the disappointment in those words? We had hoped that was who he would be, but then he didn't deliver. Then our hope ended up in a tomb, ended up dead and buried. The cross was a major disappointment. Crosses usually are a major disappointment. Whatever crosses you've had in your life, I would venture to guess they brought disappointment to you as well. These two disciples couldn't see how Jesus' death and burial would do them any good. They thought that it led nowhere. They thought that it led to a dead end, to the grave. Maybe this sounds a little bit familiar to us as Christians. Having been baptized, having been taught the faith, you too are disciples of Jesus. And you're on a journey as well. You're not headed from Jerusalem to Emmaus, but you're going from your baptism through life, the life of faith with Christ, and finally to death with him. It's not an easy journey. Like those disciples, you've heard that the tomb is empty. You've heard that Jesus lives. But it can be hard to believe. You don't see Jesus with your own eyes. And it's also not always clear where he may be leading you. It's not always clear what he may be doing in your life. This is the reality for us, like it was for them. Being a Christian can be a difficult thing. Remaining a Christian can be a challenge. And it seems to me that it's going to be more difficult for our children and our grandchildren than it was for you or your parents or your grandparents. We're in a time, and headed perhaps more deeply into a time, when it may be difficult for us Christians to have the freedom we desire to believe and live what we do. We may be mocked or treated poorly for following Jesus. We may even suffer persecution. Do you remember the questions that are asked when someone is confirmed in their faith? Those questions don't shy away from this challenge, from living as a Christian through disappointments and trials. Do you intend to remain disciples even to death? You are asked. Are you willing to suffer all for being a Christian? This is the challenge that we face already. And there may be times in our life of faith, in our following Jesus, when your Lord seems like a disappointment to you. There may be times when it seems like he has failed you or abandoned you. Life with Jesus may not turn out exactly like you hope or expect. Perhaps a family member or a friend suffers a terrible illness or dies. Maybe you didn't get that job you were hoping for, or maybe you lost the one you had. Maybe the plans you've made for yourself, your education, your family life, your retirement, don't happen quite the way that you want. In those times, you'll be tempted to think that Jesus' crucifixion and empty tomb are weak and powerless. You'll be tempted to think that life with Jesus, following him, ends in disappointment and death. Just like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, you might find yourself having conversations about Jesus, confessing not only who Jesus is and what he has done, but also confessing how disappointed you are with him and where he has let your life go. So how does Jesus respond to these two disciples? How does he react to their disappointment and their sorrow? He speaks to them. O foolish ones, he says. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And how true of us as well. Wasn't it necessary, Jesus says, that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What does Jesus do? He takes them back. He takes them back into the scriptures. He takes them back to the basics of the faith. He knows their doubt and unbelief. He knows your doubt and unbelief. He knew that their hearts were weighed down with sin. He knew that they felt separated from God, alienated from him. We don't naturally believe the promises. And even when we do believe, we find it a struggle to hold on to the promises when our crosses come, when we find disappointments and failures in our own lives. So they needed to hear it again and again, and they needed to relearn the scriptures with Jesus at the center. They needed to hear how the scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, are all about Jesus, every page about Jesus. And this is what we need to hear as well. Once isn't enough to carry you through life. I'm always shocked when someone says to me, when I talk to someone who claims to be a Christian but doesn't go to church anywhere, and they say, well, I don't need the church to be a Christian. And my immediate response, at least in my head, is this: to think, well, that's great for you, but I know myself too well. It wouldn't be enough for me. I need Jesus more than once. I need him again and again. And there's no such thing as a graduation from the Christian faith. The Christian faith is something we either live in or we forsake. Will you continue to follow Jesus by holding his word sacred? Will you continue to follow Jesus by gladly hearing his word and learning it, even when you are frustrated and disappointed, and even when the path that follows Jesus looks like it leads to the tomb? When these two disciples and Jesus reached the village, he acted like he was going to keep going. But they urged him, they asked him, they said, "Stay with us, Lord, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. "Stay with us, Lord." It's their prayer, and it's our prayer as well. "Stay with us, Lord." And what does he do? He stays with them. He answers their prayer. He joins them. He even sits at the table with them. And while they're at the table, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they saw that it was Jesus who had been with them the entire way. It was Jesus who walked with them on that sad and lonely road. It was Jesus who was there, even in the middle of their disappointment and their sorrow. And then he vanished from their sight. Not from their presence, but from their sight. Because he would stay with them. Even when they can't see him, he will be with them. And he will be with you. Jesus was not the guest at this meal. He was the host. And he opened their eyes to recognize him, to show them that his journey didn't end at the tomb, that it never ends at the tomb, but it continued with the resurrection. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who was crucified. The Lord and Christ who lives and reigns even now. And he remains with his disciples even when they don't see him. He remains with you. He remains with you as your true and faithful Lord. And so it was that these two disciples would continue to follow Jesus. They were born again now. Born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, to a living and abiding hope. I'm sure it wasn't the last time that these two disciples met disappointment or frustration or sorrow in their life, but now they knew that wherever their path led in this life, Jesus would be with them and that he had made a path through this life into the life of the world to come. But now how would they follow Jesus? They couldn't see him with their eyes. They can't walk in his steps after him. How do they follow Jesus? Their feet take them to the places where Jesus has promised to be. Their feet lead them to the scriptures and to the holy communion of Jesus. Because here Jesus remains with us, with his church. And this is the pattern that we follow, the pattern that the church has followed ever since Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus reveals himself today to you in his holy word and in this precious sacrament. This is repeated on the first day of every week as we hear the scriptures and as we receive the Holy Communion. We need what those disappointed disciples on the road to Emmaus needed. We need the crucified and risen Jesus to be with us on his journey, on this journey. We need his word. We need the bread that he breaks and gives to us as his own body and blood. And we have it. Dear friends, we have it. Jesus is with us always. He is with us even to the end of the age. He is with us on the sad and lonely road when we hang our heads in disappointment. And he is with us in that moment when our eyes are opened and we see with joy that he is alive and risen. Jesus makes himself known to us today in this service. First, he uses the word of God to preach himself as the crucified and risen Lord to our foolish and slow to believe hearts. And then he hosts us at a meal in which he feeds us with his own body and blood. And this is how he goes with us on our journey from baptism to death. This is how he goes with us on the journey that goes through crosses and frustrations and disappointments. And this is how he leads us through death into the life that never ends, into the feast that goes on forever, past the grave, into life eternal. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a companion on your life's journey. You have the best company of all. You have a faithful guide, and you have a fearless leader. You have your Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, and who will go with you every step of the way. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Father, on the road to Emmaus, your Son, risen from the dead, opened the Scriptures to the two disciples and revealed himself in the breaking of the bread. Grant us grace that we too may see him as our Savior through his word and rejoice to receive him as the bread of life for the salvation of our souls. By your holy word and sacraments, renew us that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of all, your Spirit opens the Holy Scriptures to the hearts of your people. Enlighten this congregation by the resurrection light that never fades, that our hearts may burn in faith toward you. Grant safe travel to Grace and the team returning today from Madagascar, and grant that the good they have done might bear fruit eternally. Grant your care to the Congregational Church of Eastford, Connecticut, in the sorrow over the loss of their building, and grant that the devil may not rob them of your precious gifts by this, but preserve in their midst your holy word in its truth and purity. Amen. Bless all our seminaries, that those preparing to be pastors might carry out Christ's ministry in the places where you send them. Hear our prayers, especially for Patrick and all who will soon be receiving divine calls and vicarage assignments. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. So send more workers, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have poured out your Spirit upon us, that we might believe your truth and raise our sons and daughters in it. Bless all parents, that they may faithfully catechize their children in your word. We pray especially for Matthew James being brought to Jesus today through holy baptism, and for his parents, Tim and Rachel. Keep in your care all expectant mothers and their babies, especially Laura, Kay, Rachel, Abby, and Emma. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, stifle the powers of darkness and end the reign of war, violence, and terror. Especially we pray that you would bring peace to the Sudan and resolve there the conflict and grant your mercy to all who are in trouble or difficulty. Give us leaders who will seek peace and work for the common good. Instill in them a love of righteousness and guide them in the pursuit of justice for all. Bless our President, the Congress of the United States, our Governor, and all state and local officials, all medical and emergency workers, and all members of the armed forces. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, those who suffer cry to you. Hear them and answer them with grace sufficient for all their needs. Heal the sick according to your will. Comfort the wounded and give your peace to the dying. We especially pray for Ray and Marilyn, Caleb, Linda, Ellen, Jennifer, Angelo, Mike and Donna, Kathy, John, Michelle, Stan, Luann, Carol, Al and Bernie, Angela, Bob, Bobby, Cadence, Danny and Camilla, Dan and Patty, Gail and Yorma. You are our health and strength for this life and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to all who mourn the death of loved ones, especially to the family of Marion Purinton. Grant that in her coming services, the family and friends gathered may hear the wonderful good news of Christ's death and resurrection and the hope in which Marion lived and died. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your compassion is made known to us through your Son's breaking of the bread. Open our hearts and mouths to receive forgiveness in the body and blood of Christ, who suffered for us and entered into his glory. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, have mercy on us when we are foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken about your Son. Pour out your Spirit on us through the preaching of the gospel, that the scriptures might be opened to us through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today is from the first book of Peter, chapter 1, starting at the third verse. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through the faith for the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genesis of your faith, more precious than gold, than perishes through the tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not know now, see him, but you believe in him and rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible and living with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
May continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed are we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.